Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur, everyone. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel. Today, my guest is Linda Ugolo, and I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. But first, I want to say thank you to all of you who listen to the show. I am so honored that this show spans the globe in more than 50 countries, and I want to give a special shout-out to my friends in Israel who listen to the show as well. I am so honored that you do that. You know, I know that time is our most precious asset, and so I always want to make sure that these shows are value-packed so that you feel that your time is well spent. And you're not going to be disappointed today. We have a fabulous guest. And I always want to hear what you think about the show, so feel free to connect with me at my website, BonnieGressel.com, or find me on Facebook. Coach Bonnie Gressel is the page that I have, but you can also send me a friend request to just Bonnie Gressel. Now, perhaps you have a message to share. Have you ever thought about podcasting yourself? Either being a guest on my show, I would love to hear from you if you're interested in that. And I also want to let you know that I'm beginning a new class, I just finished this class and I'm starting another one called Expand Your Reach with Podcasting, where I teach you in a small group setting how to create, design, and publish your podcast out to the world in 4 weeks or less. It's really not as hard as you think when you know what to do. So in this small class, I only accept 10 students. There's also some one-on-one time as well. And I'm happy to say that all of my students from my last class, which just ended, are now out in the world on iTunes and are sharing their message. So if that's you, if you're wondering, you know, maybe I should do a podcast, you know, certainly you can check that out if you want to. I'm going to put the link to that class on the show page so that it's easy for you to find. So now, allow me to introduce our guest for today, because I think you're really going to benefit from what Linda has to share, especially it relates to what I just mentioned in terms of getting your voice out there and sharing your message. Linda Ugolo is a visibility and confidence coach. She's a performer and a speaker who helps entrepreneurs and businesswomen transform fear and self-consciousness on stage and on camera. She's been featured in MindBody Green, and her writing has been published in the Huffington Post, on Positively Positive, and on the Positive Psychology Program blog. She's the host and producer of the TV show Women Inspired. And her upcoming book, Be Seen, features her unique blueprint for dissolving your fear to be seen and heard. So now join me in welcoming Linda Ugolo to the show today. Well, welcome, Linda. I am so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us at The Holistic Entrepreneur.
Bonnie, I'm really excited to be here.
You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story, right? Would you share with all of us a little bit more about your journey and what brings you to the work that you do today?
Absolutely. I call myself a visibility confidence coach. So I help people get comfortable being seen and heard on camera or on stage. And I do this probably because this has been a life journey for myself. Mm-hmm. I was a child who was very shy. I actually had a speech impediment. You know how some children suck their thumbs? I sucked my tongue and I had this terribly embarrassing. It was so visible because my tongue would thrust out of my mouth and I would suck on it. And I did this till I was 12 years old, and definitely not an action that inspires confidence and influence, you know, not how you win friends and influence people, as Dale Carnegie would say. And so I kind of retreated into myself for many, many years. And I did love, though, to express myself in movement. I loved to dance. So I felt comfortable in my body. And that was really my saving grace to have that experience. And it wasn't really until I was in college and I met people who, I had two roommates who were psychology majors, and they started to ask me questions. And no one had ever really said, Linda, what was your family like? Or where are you in your sibling range? Or, you know, simple things like that. I never, ever talked about myself. So that was like the first coming out. And I moved on in my life to work in movement in my profession. So I was teaching improvisational forms of movement. That was what I really loved, is like making movement that looked like it was choreographed. And I also like choreography that looks like it's improvised. I just love playing on that edge. And I remember I was in grad school to become an expressive therapist, and I wanted to give a talk about this incredible movement process that I had learned called authentic movement. What I loved about it is that it was a way of getting comfortable being seen. And you did it by, so it could be practiced with two people or in a group, and one person or several would be in the center of the room, and they'd close their eyes and they'd wait to feel an impulse in their body to move. And then they'd allow their body to move. Well, you're aware of people on the outside, whether it's one person or more, watching you, but you also have the understanding that they are there with their open heart and compassion, and there to just embrace you so that there's no sense of judgment about it. But still we feel judgment because it may be odd to like close your eyes in front of other people and just move kind of on impulse and let it be okay. But over time it becomes okay, and you begin to trust it. And you begin to feel really comfortable allowing yourself to be seen, because what is happening inside you, like watching your hands move or feeling your shoulders or your back or moving around in any way, becomes more fascinating and curious to you than the actual non-existent threat that you could imagine of people watching you. And so I wanted to speak about this, and I set up a time to have my professors and other invited guests and college peers, college grad peers, and I was going to tell them about this process, because it was like this incredible discovery for me, and it made a huge difference for me as a performer, which I can mention later as I talk a little bit about my performing experience. So I'm standing there in front of this group of people, about 20 people in rows, and I realize it's time to begin. And I had been like so excited, because as you hear, I'm like really passionate about this. But I stood in front of them and I opened my mouth and nothing came out. I closed my mouth and I tried it again. I opened my mouth and I closed my mouth. Nothing came out. And then I tried it again. I opened my mouth and I closed my mouth, and nothing came out. I was like a goldfish, opening and closing my mouth, and nothing would emerge. I was in terror. And finally, Marion, who was my advisor, leaned forward and said, Linda, can I give you a glass of water? And I just like looked at her nodding. And so I got the glass of water, because my mouth apparently had been sucked bone dry. And I got through the talk. I have no idea what I said. It was like a blank screen. And my feeling after that was like, I'm not going to do that again. But then a few years later, I had something that I felt really, really passionate about. And this is kind of like on a completely different topic. It was about milk. And I'd learned the benefits of raw milk, and I was pursuing trying to find it in my state of Massachusetts and couldn't find it. And finally, I called the Northeast Organic Farming Association, which I had been to their conferences in the summer times because I was interested in organic growing. And I said, where can I find raw milk? And they said, well, that's a really good question. And I was telling her how I discovered that raw milk is completely different than the whole milk we get in the store, which is processed. Mm-hmm. And I went on and on. And she said, Linda, why don't you come to the conference and give a little, you know, just talk about it for a minute or two before the keynote speaker so that everyone could hear it. And I thought, okay. I wasn't expecting that. And, you know, I thought, oh my God, I don't want to be a goldfish again. So I like wrote out what I was going to say. I practiced it. I timed it with a timer. So it'd be like under 2 minutes. And this time there were 1500 people. And I got up there and I did it with my heart pounding, but I got through it. You know, I was able to pump myself up because I really, really had a passion to get mm-hmm. this message out. And in fact, it did lead to a committee forming, which I was on. And now we have 23 licensed dairies to sell raw milk in the state of Massachusetts. So it's important when we have something to share to be able to do it. And if you just have to do it once in a while like that, you can pump yourself up. But I realized that as I became an online entrepreneur and I wanted to be more visible, that I would need to be more visible. Mm-hmm. And it included not just dancing, I needed to talk. There's no way around it. So, you know, making videos for me was great because I felt like, well, I enjoy the process of making a video and then I can refine it the way I like it. But doing something live felt really different because I felt like it was important to do, let's say, a podcast like this, or I was investigating Periscope because it was so immediate. And mm-hmm. Periscope, for, I don't know when people are going to be listening to this, if Periscope is still going to be a platform that is used, but it's a live streaming platform, one of the first ones. There were a few that came out in 2015. So I got onto Periscope and, okay, so my finger's like hovering over the broadcast button and my heart is pounding out of my chest. I do feel my feet on the ground, but my heart is pounding out of my chest. And the thing is, this is not the first one. This is 75th. It was my 75th broadcast, and my heart was still pounding out of my chest. And I thought, what is going on here? You know, this is not sustainable. Yes, I can do it. I can push past it every time. But gosh, it would be so much nicer if I didn't feel this fear. And then I just kind of halted because a friend of mine had recently said to me, Linda, you know, you have so much performing experience and you have a radiance on stage. I know that there are so many people who would love to learn how to do what you do. Mm-hmm. And so I had that in my mind that I wanted to coach people in becoming kind of radiant and taking authority on the stage. But what I had missed was that I had my own level of fear that I hadn't really dealt with yet. And that in order for me to be able to really be of use to people and really be helpful, I had to take a look at that. So at number 75 on Periscope, I said, okay, it stops here. I have to figure this out. And luckily, because of my background of performing and my degree in expressive therapies, I had a lot of tools. I just hadn't applied them yet. So I sat down and I said, okay, if someone came to me who was saying, I'm getting on the camera, but I am scared every single time, how would you coach them? And I decided, okay, let me make a list of all the tools in my toolbox, mm-hmm. and let's go through them and see what happens. And a couple of things really stood out. First of all, I did them all on myself just to see, okay, let's throw the kitchen sink or the spaghetti at the wall, whatever the term is. But what really struck me of everything I tried was that I tried to understand what is this fear feeling like. And what I identified to myself was that it felt like I was going to get attacked. Mm. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. Curiosity is very key here. That's really interesting. Did I ever get kicked or attacked? And I thought, well, yes, my sisters used to beat up on me when they were jealous. Mm. Now, I'm really good friends with my sisters. We adore each other. We've felt that way for decades. But there was something lasting, like an mm-hmm. imprint in my body, that I thought when I open my mouth, someone's going to say, you're so stupid, and then come and kick me. Mm. And so what did I do? I forgave them. I went back in my mind and I said, I love you. I'm sorry, because I don't know if you've ever heard of Ho'oponopono. Mm-hmm. It's a process of forgiveness. And there are lots of different ones, but I was using that one. I'm sorry, because I was sorry. I was sorry it wasn't necessarily from me, but that my mother favored me and they were jealous. Mm. I'm sorry. I forgive you. I love you. Thank you. And I said that over and over, and I allowed my whole body to kind of relax into those words and into the feeling of those words, and say, I'm letting go. I'm letting go of this. I remember the story. It's not like I'm forgetting the story, but I'm closing that chapter. Mm-hmm. I'm closing that. And between that and doing some visualization and relaxation, I found almost immediately, it's at least within the next three periscopes I did, and I was doing them daily, that I felt completely different. Mm-hmm. I felt grounded and calm. And this is what really surprised me, is I think the following week I got on Periscope and I said, you know, I'm so happy to be here because I've been feeling so frazzled today. And now I just feel relaxed and mm-hmm. I'm so grateful. And I thought, whoa, that's different. That I could even feel that being on, being seen, being heard can actually be very centering. And then the next piece that happened was that not only did it feel centering because I was really focused and there wasn't all this other stuff going on in the background, you know, that was making me feel ambivalent about being there. I was just there. I began to actually feel high on the experience, that I felt like it was heightening my senses, heightening my awareness, and heightening my sense of connection. So that's when I said, okay, I'm ready to work with other people because I've gotten through this piece in myself. And I think I've deconstructed enough that I think that it's going to make a difference for other people. And that's when I started to coach others.
So you really found the limiting beliefs in yourself first.
Right. That's
right. And dealt with those. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, I don't know, we might be similar ages, but I remember we'd always hear from our parents, especially my mom, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many, you know, patients and clients I've had in the past that don't express themselves because there's that limiting belief that, you know, if you don't have something good to say, then you shouldn't say anything at all, or you should be seen and not heard, and things like that, or getting, you know, beat up by your sisters when you did say something.
We all have our own stories, and not just one story. We have a mosaic of stories.
We do.
And that's what I've discovered is at the bottom of what we think of as our fear. Mm-hmm. It's like this accumulation of these misguided cultural beliefs and our combined with our actual experiences that we might have had that were harmful or hurtful, plus the way that we carry on the habits with our thoughts inside our head. Mm-hmm. So for instance, I got the exact same message from my mom. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. Although she didn't live by it. She said lots of mean things. But somehow, being a goody-goody, I was going to live by that. Sure. But you know, it took me years and years to realize I might have been nice to other people, and there were problems with that, as you just mentioned, mm-hmm. because then you're not, I'll come back to that just in a second, but we don't recognize that we also need to be nice to ourselves.
Right.
And what we tend to do is we might be nice to other people while we're beating up to ourselves inside, saying, oh, who do you think you mm-hmm. are? You're not good enough, or you don't know what you're doing, or whatever. I mean, it can go on and on. And what you were talking about for how we limit ourselves in the world by trying to be nice is that's not really what is needed from us. Mm-hmm. And I think, and you know this, it was something that might have sounded good to that generation, mm-hmm. but really, like, as an entrepreneur, you need to be able to take a stand, and you need to not have everybody like you. You need to have the people who are going to resonate with you, and the people who believe something different, well, that's their choice.
That's fine, yeah.
That's a big reframe mm-hmm. for people, and it's such an important one. Mm-hmm. And I know that it wasn't until sometime in the last 10 years that I got that. It took me a long time to recognize that. So I feel that today people are way ahead of the curve because of all the way that the collective wisdom, especially in the world of entrepreneurs, can, and combined with the technology to disseminate that wisdom and knowledge gets out there, that people can really shortcut their learning and their understanding by, 25 years. You know, things that took us so long to figure out, someone in their 20s and 30s can catch wind of it.
Right. Well, and those limiting beliefs that maybe are started in childhood, I think in some people at least, it progresses. It's whether they have that sort of internal locus of control and they know that all they can control is themselves versus the external locus of control, Stephen Covey puts it, where it's what other people think, what other people say, what other people might think if I'm dancing or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And that's like, that creates their value of themselves.
That's right.
And I don't know if you find that with the clients that you work with, but that's, yes, it probably starts, when we're little in childhood, we begin these things, but some people carry that throughout their whole lives because of what they started out like as a child.
Absolutely. And that's where we start to accumulate. It's like it gets sticky.
Yeah.
And we accumulate more and more experiences that affirm what we mm-hmm. believe, which mm-hmm. was, oh, I can't do this. Right. And in fact, that's what I was afraid of on Periscope. After 75, I thought, I'm afraid I am grooving into my neural pathways mm-hmm. that press record, get terrified.
Right.
I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to groove in something new. So it's almost like we simultaneously or alternatively, we need to release some of these, loosen up that gluey conglomeration of experiences and release some of them. And at the same time, build our capacity to hold a different kind of experience, one that feels more expansive and grounded and present and safe. Mm-hmm. So what I like to do is go back and forth between the two so that it's kind of like, you know how on the computer, if you don't turn off your computer every night, which I do not, I just close it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are apps that are running in the background that I forget mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're like. It's like we have these running apps that we're not even aware of, and they suck up our emotional energy and our mental bandwidth and our ability to kind of move forward because they are they're draining out our energy. So like if you think to yourself, oh, I really want people to know about me in my business, but there's a part of you that's saying, oh, but I don't feel comfortable being seen, or I don't like the way I look, or I don't like the sound of my voice, or this person said that to me, and therefore X, Y, Z. When you have those things running, you're fighting yourself. There's mm-hmm. part of you that wants to move forward, and there's part of you that says, no, no, no. don't even go there.
And that part probably wins.
And that part wins because, because we need to feel safe enough in order to take risks. So I'm a big believer in taking care of business. And to me, taking care of business does not mean years of therapy. I had one client who I knew she was part of a large family. And I said to her, I think today I'd like to, you know, peek inside what the family dynamic was like, because maybe it was hard for you to have your voice heard with a family, you know, with seven kids. And she said, oh my God, I don't even know if I want to get into this because we're talking about years of therapy here. And I said, no, we're not talking about years of therapy. We're just going to work on it today and maybe one other time. And it was interesting because what came out wasn't even just about the seven kids. It was something that her father said during family meetings, which was, let's see if I can remember it. Family meeting has begun. No more laughing, no more fun. If you let out a sound, you will pay a forfeit or something like that. And she was terrified of making a sound.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And here she was in her business and they had asked her to train a group of writers for the business who were in Europe, about 70 of them. And it was in like 5 weeks that she had to do it. And she came to me and saying, help. But by just like taking that experience and releasing it, another modality I like to use, and there's so many modalities out there. My modalities aren't the only ones that can be used. We did something called emotional freedom technique, which is tapping on meridians around the face and chest and saying different statements to kind of loosen and release or interrupt the pattern, I think it is. We interrupt the pattern of what something has hold and then you can replace it with a new pattern of experience or attitude. It's so important to, like, everything we experience, we feel in our body. It's so important to pay attention to making sure that we are embedding the kinds of experience that we want to have in our lives, because this is our life. And do we want to go through it feeling tight and constricted? Or do we want to feel relaxed and open and expansive? So you can't know what relaxation feels like in front of a crowd if you don't know what relaxation feels like, first of all, right? So you definitely need to take time, and it's not that hard because it's so pleasurable to relax, to take time to really relax your body and know what does it feel like to not be holding on anywhere. And it can take a while to find that if you have been accustomed to holding on. I remember when I was 35, I had this big blue ball, a physio ball, and I was leaning backwards over it. And I was letting my lungs fill up with air. And I thought, oh my God, my mother never taught me how to breathe. And now, of course, I mean, that's such a silly thing to say. But it kind of spoke to this feeling that I never knew how to relax.
My
rib cage and just breathe. Now I was 35. So that was part of my journey of like, learn what does it feel like to feel relaxed? And then in that sense of relaxation, what is it like to feel pleasure? Like in every cell and tissue of my body, what does it feel like to feel confident? What does confidence even feel like? So we can't expect ourselves to be in a certain place if we don't know what that place feels like. Maybe that comes from my dance background, but I feel and I recognize in my clients that once they get that experience in their body, they can recall it.
Right.
So when you get on to a podcast or you get onto a stage or make a video, you can you can recall that feeling. And the more often you recall that feeling, or you let yourself experience that groundedness, that strength, that sense of authority and self-love and acceptance, then you have you those neural pathways, those chemical cascades are already used to being activated. And it's not a far reach like it was when I was trying to speak to my in grad school and not a word came out.
Yeah. You know, Linda, we have talked about so many golden nuggets today, but I know people are very busy. And if they could only fit one more thing into their brain today, what do you think is the most important thing that they take away from our conversation today? Something to leave them with.
What I would always suggest is that we do have the power. The power of our mind is vast. And if you want to feel a particular way, whether it's in a conversation that you're going to have, a meeting, or if you need to sit down and write your webpage copy and you feel nervous about it or you feel stuck, take some time to close your eyes, relax. You know, I'm big on relaxation, mm-hmm. and envision how you want to feel. How do you want to feel? When you answer that, if you can say, I want to feel relaxed and open, and allow yourself to feel that way, or you want to feel like curious, or you want to feel like, let's say you're writing a blog post, you want to feel like as you're writing, you get all these new insights. Visualize that ahead of time, and you'd be amazed at how much easier it is to do anything that you set before you as a task, whether it's getting on stage or it's getting in front of your computer.
Oh, that's a fabulous tip. And that's so, I mean, sometimes it's like, oh yeah, we should remember to do that. But we need reminders to do that.
We all need reminders. Yeah. I need reminders to do it. Yeah. I have a habit of doing that in the morning when I wake up. It's mm-hmm. part of my morning routine now. But yeah, sometimes I get out of that habit and then I need to be reminded, no, it works, do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we're little kids, we're actually pretty good at that, daydreaming and fantasizing and all that sort of thing about
how
the stuff
true.
We want.
Yes.
But, you know, kind of life gets in the way and we forget to do those things. So thank you so much for that golden nugget today and all of the rest of the awesome information that you've shared. I've really enjoyed our conversation. And I know, Linda, that people are going to want more of you. They're going to want to know how to connect with you. And I think you have a free gift for everyone as well. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what's the best way to get hold of you? And you can talk about your gift if you like. And, you know, because I know people are, you know, there are lots of people out there that need what you do.
Well, I do have a gift. It's called the Fear to Fabulous Blueprint. Master the inner game of speaking on stage or camera with confidence and charisma. And the way you get to that is by going to www.lindaugelow.com, lindaugelow.com/blueprint. So if you go there, you will receive my process, my blueprint for mastering the inner game so that you can show up with confidence and without that backlog of fear. And if you want to get in touch with me more directly, you can go to my website, lindaugelow.com, and I have a contact me at the bottom of most pages.
Awesome. You know, and I will put your gift in the guest gift page with all of the other gifts so people can certainly find it there as well. And thank you so much for that generous gift of something that we probably all need, because even if we think we're pretty good at it, life gets in the way, things change, and it's a dynamic process. And from time to time, we need to go back to those things again, kind of like you found in your journey as well.
That's right. And also because we take on bigger and bigger challenges.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have so enjoyed our conversation today. I want to thank you again for taking time out of your busy day, because I know you're a busy person, to share with all of us at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom.
It was a great pleasure, Bonnie. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.